Well, thank you everybody for coming. I'll jump right in. So the importance of evaluating Bermuda grass systems in the Southern Great Plains is due to it being the most common warm season forage in the area. It is highly productive, it's resistant to grazing, and it's just overall adapted to our area. However, its lack of quality and digestibility during the summer inhibits its use in the summer in our area to some extent. So we've been looking at evaluating the effectiveness and feasibility of interseeding alfalfa with Bermuda grass pastures. So this is to increase the crude protein content and digestibility of these pastures and to allow for grazing earlier in the spring. Some other advantages of planting alfalfa with Bermuda grass include a decreased need for applied nitrogen, and the combination decreases the bloat potential of alfalfa. So here's a graph of an ideal forage system in our area with Bermuda grass and alfalfa. Here you can see that we're trying to capture the February to April growth and maybe even a little bit into November. Being able to graze cattle a few months earlier could significantly reduce costs associated with wintering a cow herd. One major downfall to this system is establishment of alfalfa. It's hard to get a good stand. So we found that in order to get a good stand, we have to, it's best to hay off the Bermuda grass late in the summer. 2 weeks prior to planting, we apply glyphosate, no-till alfalfa into the Bermuda grass, and then cross your fingers. So we also don't know yet if the system's going to be more economical for producers in our area because there's not a lot of information in the literature on the net returns of alfalfa and Bermuda grass systems. We're also trying to determine the difference between rotational and continuous grazing with these systems. Rotational stocking is associated with several benefits, such as more uniform grazing, you have less spot grazing in your pastures, increased stocking rates, more flexibility to producers, and the potential for increased production per acre. As with everything, there are also some downfalls to rotational stocking. It's more expensive due to increased need for supplies such as waterers and fencing, and it's also more labor intensive. So the main objectives of the study that I'm going to be presenting are to determine the effects of different systems, supplementation, and stocking methods on these various parameters. We want to see how these variables affect forage production, nutritive value of the available forage, your forage allowance, grazing days, and animal performance, which is what I'll be highlighting. Treatments for this study are monoculture Bermuda grass with no nitrogen and no protein supplement, and that's as your control. Then we have Bermuda grass with no nitrogen and a protein supplement. We have Bermuda grass with 112 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, both with and without protein supplement, and that's as our standard treatment that a producer would use. And then finally, a mixture of Bermuda grass and Roundup Ready alfalfa with no supplementation. So we wanted to add supplementation to kind of answer the question, can we overcome having no nitrogen, especially under rotational grazing? And I included a couple pictures here just to show you of our paddocks, what they look like in the field. These are all of our paddocks except for one. You can see that originally we had, a conventional alfalfa treatment, but it got Phytophthora ground rot, so they were canned and they're now used as holding paddocks. Here's the analysis of the protein supplement that we've been using. We have corn gluten at 40%, soybean hulls at 19%, wheat middlings at 16%, which gives us total digestible nutrients at 76% and 20% crude protein. The amount of supplementation was based on a half a body percent, which changed every 28 days when we would weigh cattle. The study was set up as a split plot design, with the splits being continuously or rotationally stocked. Continuously stocked paddocks were 0.8 hectares, and rotational were 0.4 hectares, with four paddocks each giving us 1.6 hectares total. Animals were rotated between the four paddocks every 7 days, giving each paddock 21 days of rest between grazing periods. For the alfalfa paddocks, we used Roundup Ready alfalfa and planted it into established Bermuda grass pastures at 14 kilograms pure live seed. So in order for the alfalfa to establish itself, we hayed off the Bermuda grass in late summer and applied 1.12 kilograms per hectare of glyphosate. Fertilizer was also applied according to soil tests. For our phosphorus, we wanted 260 kilograms per hectare and potassium 260 and phosphorus 60, standard test phosphorus. We started out with about 240 Angus Brangus cross heifers that weighed about 304 kilograms. We designated two tester heifers per paddock that would stay in those paddocks for the duration of the grazing period. For the first deployment of cattle, rotational paddocks had 8 head and continuous had 4 head, and then every 28 days adjustments were made on the stocking rates based on a visual assessment of available forage, with a target forage allowance of 1,680 kilograms per hectare. These are the dates that we initiated grazing on the paddocks. You can see that the alfalfa paddocks were started first. 2 weeks later, the fertilized Bermuda grass pastures were cattle were deployed, and 2 weeks after that, the zero nitrogen. We staggered the initiation dates. We could start the alfalfa paddocks sooner, followed by the fertilized nitrogen and then the zero nitrogen, but this also helped help us with our weigh days. It just we weren't able to weigh all of the cattle on all of the treatments in a single day, especially in the heat of the summer. You can see I also have the number of grazing days we've been able to achieve for this first year. The alfalfa rotational paddocks have 168 plus days, and that's because they're still being grazed today. Note, we started the alfalfa paddocks only 2 weeks prior to the other treatments, and this is because it's our first year. We wanted to keep our stands of alfalfa, so we started grazing at 50% bloom, and hopefully in the coming years we'll be able to start much earlier than the other treatments. Here's a picture taken on a weigh day. You can see me in the background working the chute and one of the guys working on the computer. We would let a heifer into the chute and get her weight, and which is what he's typing into the computer there. We use a program called Cattle Time. At this time, we vaccinate, apply fly spray, and add or subtract heifers. So when I'm out taking forage samples, I always stop and take a picture if I think, oh man, this might be kind of cool for a presentation. So here we have a zero nitrogen paddock. On the right is the paddock that's had, on the right is the paddock that's been grazed for 6 days so far, and on the left this paddock has been grazed or has had 20 days of rest. So you can see that there's an obvious difference there. The same thing here, but with the fertilized nitrogen. This picture, or the fertilized Bermuda grass, excuse me. This picture was taken later in the season. They're not normally this cruddy. So you can see the difference between the paddocks again. On the right, you have 6 days of grazing, and on the left, you have 20 days of rest. And another picture, just again to show you for the alfalfa, the picture on the paddock on the left has had 14 days of rest, and on the right has had 21 days. Okay, so into some of the results. We have the average monthly rainfall for the duration of the grazing period, and in the orange is the 30-year average. You can see we had some wet months, followed by some very hot, very dry months, which is pretty typical for our area. We seem to get just enough rainfall to kind of squeak by for the season. So we'll start off with the stocking rates that we were able to achieve for the first year. You can see that I have each treatment grouped together. Let's see, treatments with a plus at the end are the ones that received a feed supplement. The treatments, so we didn't see any significant differences between stocking methods within treatments. We did find that the alfalfa treatments were able to hold as many cattle as the fertilized Bermuda grass treatments and the zero in with supplement, and that was due to decreased available forage. Here we have the stocking rates again, but this is an overall average. This time we can see that both the alfalfa treatment and zero nitrogen with supplement treatment or without supplement treatment are resulting in the lowest stocking rates, and the highest were the fertilized Bermuda grass. Next, grazing days per hectare. We have increased grazing days for fertilized treatments compared to zero in and alfalfa treatments. Again, no differences between stocking methods, so we did an overall analysis. Here we clearly see that treatments resulting in the most grazing days per hectare are both of the fertilized Bermuda grass treatments, followed by zero nitrogen, followed by alfalfa. Next year, we're hoping to see the alfalfa treatments have increased grazing days because hopefully we'll be able to start grazing them a month ahead instead of 2 weeks like we did this year. So moving on to the average daily gain. Again, treatments are grouped together. You can see a trend here that doesn't quite make sense with the 112 nitrogen with no supplement treatment is having much lower daily gains than you might expect. We attribute this to us doing a bad job of stocking in these paddocks. We just put too many cattle on them, so hopefully next year we don't make the same mistake. Again, no differences between stocking methods. So here are the overall averages. We have some differences with non-supplemental nitrogen treatments having lower daily gains. And even though we're getting less grazing days for the alfalfa paddocks, here you can see there's no difference between them and the treatments that we're receiving supplement. So that suggests that there might be some potential for replacing your fertilizer with alfalfa if it's profitable. And finally, we calculated total gain for each treatment. Once again, no stocking method treatment or no stocking method differences between treatments. And when they're pulled together, you can see that total gain, the highest total gain was the fertilized Bermuda grass with supplement, which is kind of to be expected. The lowest treatments were both of the non-supplemental nitrogen treatments. Notice again, alfalfa is not different from no nitrogen with supplement treatment. So this suggests that there's some real potential for use of alfalfa instead of supplement. In summary, animal performance was hindered by first-year establishment constraints, but even with those constraints, we were able to graze earlier and later than our Bermuda grass pastures. We've seen that feeding supplement may be able to overcome a lack of nitrogen, and although we saw no differences between rotational and continuous stocking, because we're still grazing the rotational alfalfa paddocks, we hope to see that when those animals are pulled off that maybe we'll have some differences between these stocking methods. So that wraps up for this study. We'll continue to monitor forage production and animal performance throughout the study. We plan on continuing it till at least 2019, at which point economic analysis will be performed, and hopefully the most economical grazing system can be determined and implemented into our area. So with that, I'll take any questions.
We have time for questions, and we'll have a break at 2:50, but we do have time for some questions. Ben.
Would you like to speculate on why you can do rotational and continuous?
The question is, would I like to speculate on why we didn't see differences between rotational and continuous paddocks? I actually don't know. I am I'm really new to this, so I'm still learning. But I would expect that rotational paddocks would have higher everything. So I'm not real sure. We did not control for height.
Repeat the question. Like
did we control for height when we moved cattle for the rotationals? We did not. We just took a visual assessment and just kind of looked at the pastures and said, I didn't really do a whole lot of that. But I know that we just looked at them and said, well, that could use a couple more, or there's too many out there. We need to take some off.
This question in back. The one way in back, Miss.
Are you planning on looking at persistence
of Bermuda grass and your Bermuda grass alfalfa mixture? And do you think that persistence of Bermuda grass would be a problem? Are we looking at persistence of Bermuda grass? Not to my knowledge. I do know that with alfalfa, usually when you graze it, you get 3 years out of your alfalfa. But our Bermuda grass is our native grass, if I'm not mistaken. So hopefully it persists for quite a while. They are. 30, yeah.
Right,
right. Yes. Have you ever done any economical analysis between those two? Because it seems like even you can get the same average daily range between no fertilization plus supplementation instead of, for example, a part of it. It's like 100 days of great between one treatment and the other one,
mm-hmm.
of the fertilization. And you've done any, economical recommendation for government?
Are we planning on doing economic analysis? Yes, hopefully after the 3 years, I think it's typically 5 years is when you do an economical analysis, but hopefully after 3 years we'll be able to see some differences. That's part of the plan, but this is the first year of the study, so we're not real sure right now what the breakdown is.
Folks, it is break time. I'm sure Mary would be happy to field questions during a break. We'll be back here at 3 o'clock. And over.